CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is a Wednesday. Yeah, we're here, we're live. We're ready to regale you with tales of the news, our own lives, things that are going on that you probably already are talking about, and stuff that we think might interest you from the future.
Ooh.
Yes.
The future.
Isn't that exciting?
Okay.
So we try to do. We try to get you thinking about everything. You know, I sometimes meet people and...
From the future?
No, well, I wish. Sometimes I think some people are from the future and they just hit test us to see how stupid we are.
Oh, right.
No, I meet people, forgive me, just for, like, I swear it won't be longer than 2 minutes, but I love meeting people who have secretly been listening to us for a long time, and then they open up to me and they tell me what they like and what they don't like and what they think the strongest parts, the weakest parts of what we do are.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You know, I know podcasting is suddenly taking off all over the world and it's becoming a phenomenon. It's the fastest growing medium in the world, 70% growth year on year for the last 3 years in America. It wasn't like that when we started. And I know that there are a bunch of American podcasters who've been going at this for a lot longer than me. And I used to listen to them, which is kind of where I got the idea that we needed something similar in South Africa. And now suddenly you've got all these radio stations doing podcasting, and everybody's talking about podcasts now. It's a big deal.
Such a cool word.
I know, and it's suddenly taken off, and people are using it left, right, and center, and companies want to do their own podcasts, and, you know, I'm thrilled that we were able to get to this point in our journey thanks to the people who've listened to us every step of the way, you know. I don't want to blow too much smoke up your ass here, and I said I'd keep it to 2 minutes, so I'm running out of time, but... just thank you. I mean, you know, if people hadn't been there from the start to listen to what we're doing, if you didn't own a piece of this in terms of being one of the early adopters, I don't know, we wouldn't have made it to the point where podcasting became this super cool thing that everybody wanted to be a part of. We wouldn't have got here if it wasn't for our early listeners and those people who switched over. God, do you remember how complicated it was on WeChat? Sweet Jesus. It felt like jumping through... it felt like walking backwards through traffic and trying not to get hit.
Oh.
It was hard.
Yeah, those early stages were...
it was hard.
You were downloading the official account. You were
shaking
your phone, downloaded the stickers. There was tons, but stepping stones.
But there were a lot of technical conversations at the beginning. Now we're talking more, you know... content conversation, which is nice.
Yeah.
That's
people
journey
like,
of the business.
How do we do this? And it's it made me think of a series I've started listening to by Stephen Fry called Great Leap Years, and he talks about how, you know, things like the printing press or electricity just surged humanity forward in an unbelievable way. And it's quite incredible. Anyway, I thought I'd start off this morning with something interesting for you.
That's nice and sincere. Did you bump into someone who...
yeah, yesterday, you know, more and more people every week. Honestly, people I didn't know were listeners. So it's great to know. And we've got such powerful, influential listeners. I mean, these are people who really are at the top of their game. Anyway, 12,000 people were surveyed in 14 countries. They asked them this question. Let me see if you can get this right. In the last 20 years, the proportion of the world population living in extreme poverty has A, almost doubled, B, stayed the same, or C, almost halved?
C.
I would like to say C.
What would you say, Nola?
C. I think C.
Well?
But I think it's A.
You guys are absolutely right.
It's C, almost half.
It is C, it's almost half.
Oh, wow.
The number of people living in extreme poverty has halved. It has halved.
Well, that's got a lot to do with India and the fact that they just decided to have toilets and stuff.
Yeah, and also people...
India's got like a billion people.
But it's information as well. Now, information is freely available to everybody in a way that it just wasn't. Just remember, 300 or so years ago, even if your ancestors were super rich... they probably couldn't read more than, you know, one or two books. And there were a few people who read more than that, but they were the absolute smattering of herbs on the top of a soup of humanity.
Yo.
The the ability to read and write and to find information that is now disseminated. And remember what video has done and audio have done for people. We talk about podcasting and videos. So even if you can't read or write, you can still hear and understand. And in your own language, for people, that is the primary means of instruction. So they did this survey, and they actually asked people in Sweden, Norway, Finland, Japan, United Kingdom, Canada, Germany, Australia, the US, Belgium, South Korea, France, Spain, and Hungary that same question. Do you know how many people got it right? In Sweden, 25%. In the UK, 9%. People think poverty is increasing because we're such stupid animals. We're so predisposed to fear and news and bad inputs and evolutionary reasons to be terrified of the world around us that we keep thinking things are getting worse. You know, it drives me mad every time I meet someone who says, "Oh, the world is a piece of shit."
And but you do understand where that comes from, though.
It comes from
outrage culture.
It comes from primitive reptilian brain fear. That's where it comes from. You are a primitive, backward creature if you still think that the world is getting worse. In the face of overwhelming evidence to the contrary, if you think the world is getting worse and harder, it's either because it's getting worse and harder for you because you're stupid, or because you're not paying attention to the facts and your reptilian brain is taking over, and that amygdala response is, "Oh my God, it's terrible. Stop it."
I think people are just taking things at surface level and
yes,
not really knowing about things. You will walk past a TV screen and it's on a news channel, and you'd read that one line that scrolls through the screen. You'll go into your social media account and people are complaining on your timeline, and you think, "Oh, this is it. The end is nigh." So
well,
it's refreshing to find out that.
Yeah, just stop falling for all the crap, basically. Do some research for yourself. You've got a brain. You are ambulatory, or you are at least able to find yourself at a computer at some point in your life. You probably have a mobile phone that has lots of data on it. Do yourself a favor and do some research instead of jumping to wild conclusions and imagining that the world is worse. Do you know that you can hate him as much as you want, but Donald Trump has completely diffused the dangerous situation that the world was in with North Korea? Diffused, right? Give him some credit.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened to North Korea? Dropped off the radar of dangerous places. Why? Because Donald and Kim got together and they had a mano a mano, and the two of them sorted it out the way old-fashioned oligarchs and kings and emperors used to sort things out. And the world is safer as a result. You might hate Donald Trump, you might hate Kim Jong-un. I don't necessarily reserve a whole lot of love for either of them, but the world is a safer place. And you remember everybody going, "Oh, in a nuclear war!" Do you remember?
Yeah,
remember all those people?
It was in the exact pitch
the
and tone.
Same amygdala response, reptile brain idiots who are filling the news cycle with shit that doesn't affect you, that they think you need to be worried about.
Mm.
Get you worried. He's diffused Iran. What's going on with Iran at the moment? Have you ever heard Iran so quiet? They wouldn't make a peep because they know Trump would climb into them.
Well, there wasn't that...
Right?
Wasn't
they weren't scared of Obama. They weren't scared of Bush. Ahmadinejad.
So wasn't he mouthing off about the fact that don't test us, and then Trump tweeted
him
back?
You're talking about Ayatollah Khamenei. Right.
Okay, one more time?
Ayatollah. That's his spiritual title. It's like priest or pastor or bishop or whatever. Khamenei.
Cool.
Sorry, Ben, you were saying about him?
Yeah, so didn't he tweet something recently and Donald just like tweeted him back and that was
it? He said, "If you fucking talk about America again, you son of a bitch, and you
like
lose a country."
Schoolboy kind of yard kind of fight.
Right.
The big fat kid basically had the last word and everyone moved on.
Right. Big fat Donald told them where to get off. Anyway, I listened to such an interesting interview with Steve Bannon. Do you remember Steve Bannon?
Name sounds familiar.
He was Trump's strategist for his campaign.
Yes.
And then he worked in the White House for about a year and then he got out.
Yes, yes.
What's he doing now? Do we know?
He's making films and he's writing and he's appearing on talk shows.
Huh? Which is the reason he got into Trump's campaign in the first place.
Steve Bannon.
Right.
Steve Bannon went on Bill Maher, which again is a brave thing for a conservative to do because Bill Maher's audience is very left-leaning. But I think Bill's a fair interviewer. He annoys some people. I like him. Steve Bannon went on there and explained why despite all this hysteria about the world being terrible and Donald Trump. You know how people say to you at the beginning of a meeting or when you have coffee with them or you go for lunch with somebody, the world is in disastrous, apocalyptic, dangerous circumstances. And you say to them why and they go, Donald Trump!
Mm. Yeah, he's basically Hitler.
He's the worst person in some people's mind that's ever lived. This guy has just about done everything he promised he would do for the Americans in his first year and a half in office. Now, what do you say to that? How do you even begin to deal with that if you're a Donald Trump hater? You have to make it look... Yeah, of course. Like, that's a big problem in the world. That's the real reason that everything's going to shit is because they're a sexist. Well, I've got bad news for you. That ain't going to change. You heard Timothy Maurice yesterday. What you got to remember about things like unconscious bias is there's no way to program it out. Okay, when someone gets upset by Sasha Martinengo on some, what is that station that he's on? I don't even know.
Hot 91.9.
Whatever. Sure. When someone gets upset that he calls Julius a monkey, you can't program that out of people, and it doesn't mean that that he's referring to you. But people are so emotional. You know, I tweeted this thing out not so long ago and got a great response. People loved it because it's so true. I don't know if it is Warren Buffett, but if it isn't, it should be because it's the kind of thing someone as smart as him would say. Listen to this, please. You will continue to suffer if you have an emotional reaction to everything that is said to you. True power is sitting back and observing things with logic. True power is restraint. If words control you, that means everyone else can control you. Breathe and allow things to pass.
So true.
So true.
If you're letting a guy like Sasha Martinengo has gone out of his way to not offend everyone for the last, 30 years? Sasha's the least offensive human being I've ever met in my life. He doesn't harbor grudges. He's not a mean person. He laughs. He loves cars. That's all you need to know. And Julius carries on a lot of the time in ways that would make most of the animals in our animal kingdom slightly embarrassed. And he's the problem? Sasha Martinengo? You have to dig deep as hell to find reasons to have a problem with someone as inoffensive. I don't want to be disparaging about Sasha, but he's not offensive. You could say a lot of things about the guy. It's ridiculous that people are upset by him. And that people get upset by Donald Trump. Donald Trump being a sexist or building a wall or fighting with crooked Hillary or Elizabeth Warren or any of these people. Does it affect your life? Does Donald Trump's attitude to women change anything about your life? Does someone who calls someone else a monkey do anything about you? Does it change your life? What does it do for you? Is it like having your phone taken away? Is it like the government making a law against you? Is it like being clapped in irons and made to work for an evil boss? No, obviously not. But these are the things we choose to get upset by. You're crazy. You deserve to be unhappy. You deserve to think the world is falling apart around you if you think those things matter. They do not matter. You know what matters? What you're doing right now that's productive. And if it's not productive, don't do it. Do something that is. God damn it. The world is so full of losers who are just hanging on for a reason to excuse their own stupidity and loserness.
Oh, wow.
No, really.
No, it is because they're hanging.
Why do we have fucked up children all over? Ben, you go on about this often, right? Why do we have bad children?
Non-accountable adults.
There we go. Thank you. So if your
parents just don't have commitment issues, they do have the commitment issues, responsibility issues.
If you're a bad parent and you have bad children, it's not the teachers, it's not the schools, it's not the government. It's not Angie Mochekra's fault if your child is a disaster. It's yours. You had it when you probably shouldn't have, and then you raised it badly. That child is a disaster because of you if you're the parent. No, not me and Sia. We don't have children. Ben and Nola, we don't have kids. We didn't ask to. We're paying for your kids, by the way. We're subsidizing their education, subsidizing their meals at school. We didn't ask for any of that. So we're bearing some of your responsibility, and you still have the cheek to not take responsibility. Loser. And when Donald Trump comes along and he says, I'm going to give you so much winning. I mean, this guy, you can hate him as much as you want. He means it, and he does it. People don't like hearing that, huh? They don't like being shown up by some orange-haired orangutan.
Yeah, well,
they don't like that.
They don't want to be shown up. You know, there's this dreadful drip towards collectivism in the world.
Oh, shit. Sorry, Ben, before you carry on, I just called someone a monkey. You think Donald Trump's going to get me fired?
Oh, that's it.
I called him an orangutan. Oh, shit. What's going to happen to me?
Wait, well, for the ESF now.
I hope the management here at Cliff Central don't fire me.
No, they are. Gareth, there. I think, check your emails. I think you're already fired.
If Black Twitter doesn't get to you first...
You're probably going to find Donald's team are going to camp outside your house.
We'll be trending today.
I remember the day, says Lubabalo. I never look back. Still my favorite morning show. Thank you, Lubabalo. You make my day. Honest to God. There are days I come in here and I'm just blown away by this. Ben, you were going to say collectivism?
Well, it's a slow drip towards collectivism, which is a dreadfully dangerous thing in this world because no one thinks. Everyone goes, oh, okay, well, we can't say that because we must all be the same. And that's what it all comes back to. Just don't ever step out of line. It's the most dangerous thing. The human race will just regress from there. Only regress.
Well, I you know what? I think there's this interesting thing happening, and it links back to what I said at the beginning here about podcasting. Is there are people who do make sense, and they're talking to each other, and they're creating content around each other, and they're doing interesting things with each other. And it's not happening in mainstream media. It's not happening on television or on FM radio or in the newspapers or any of those old forums where this stuff happened. And frankly, it isn't even happening on Twitter because Twitter's become a cesspool. We all know that, right?
Sure.
But it's happening in places like this.
Because of dynamic individuals.
Look at this. Gareth is on fire today, says just playing. GCS is burning down. It's great. I mean, I think just playing means that in a positive way because... Lubabalo adds, people who think people are getting more poor are monkeys, like Julius. That's what Lubabalo says. Anushka says, morning and thank you. I've been listening to you guys from day one. Back in those WeChat days, the only reason I downloaded that useless app. Well, there the truth comes out, huh? Sure, Anushka's not holding back. So let me give you an example of how crazy this world is and how we all get distracted by bullshit. So something interesting has been going on. I interviewed a dude called Peter Boghossian. You can go and look it up, right? Mm-hmm. Peter Boghossian's a very smart academic. He has, for the last year, along with James Lindsay and Helen Pluckrose, they've been sending fake papers to various academic journals, which they describe as specializing in activism or grievance issues. All right? And they usually are somewhere around identity politics and... intersectionality, all that stuff. You know, that's become very much the buzzword of the left. This is what people are excited by. So these guys, Peter Boghossian primarily, and these other two, have been sending these fake papers where they basically take Mein Kampf and they rewrite it as intersectionality because it's easy to do. It's bullshit. And Mein Kampf is bullshit and intersectionality is bullshit. But there are whole universities with departments dedicated to intersectionality, gender studies, race studies, collectivism, grievances, all this kind of stuff. Activism. There's a department of activism at some universities. So you can pretty much get anything published by these people because they don't really have a... It's not like, you know, if you published a thesis on chemistry. Let's say you were going for your master's, your doctorate in chemistry, and you just made shit up. You said, well, calcium is a non-metal, and bromine is a metal, and the two can combine to make a salt where the metal takes electrons and the non-metal loses electrons. It's nonsense. It makes no scientific sense. It's completely contradictory to all the evidence. And you would be thrown out of the scientific community. They would laugh at you. They would... kick you out of your doctoral thesis and you would never be able to re-enter until you'd made apologies and tried again and presented the right evidence. But in intersectionality, you can make up whatever shit you like. It's a boogity 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 boo and there's a monster there's a monster here and there's a monster there and there are ghosts of ghosts over here. Anyway, they've published, listen to this, they've been so successful with their bullshit with these departments. They've been so successful at showing how dumb and banal these humanities studies are at these universities that 7 papers have passed through peer review and have been published, including a 3,000-word excerpt of Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf rewritten in the language of intersectionality theory and published in the gender studies journal Aphilia, proving what Timothy Maurice was saying yesterday, that all of this gender studies, postmodernist, structural stuff that people talk about is bullshit. We can put it in the cupboard of bullshit, along with alchemy and the philosopher's stone and magic and wizards and witches and Casper the Friendly Ghost. It is nonsense. Bozo the Clown. All of that can go in the same cupboard.
Yes, Gareth, if people were to think by themselves. But you can't tell someone bullshit because they go, oh, no, wait, what's the collective narrative on this? Well, they subscribe to it. They don't use their own minds. Therefore, they can't accept what you just said.
There are a whole lot of people studying, you know, gender studies, for example. This is going to seriously compromise. Their parents have got to ask, what am I wasting my money on? If these 3 people that I mentioned earlier, including Peter Boghossian, can bullshit their way right through 7 of their papers get published in supposedly reputable journals of this subject matter.
That's a bit like the Huffington Post South Africa thing when with
Shelley Garland.
Yes.
Who, by the way, was on the Renegade Report, and you need to listen to that.
And where's Huffington Post South Africa now?
They've gone out of business. Mm-hmm. News 24, with all that NSPAS money,
shame.
They couldn't make Huffington Post work. They had that disastrous editor.
Was it which one?
Let's move on.
Not even worth their name coming out of
they
your
had,
mouth.
They have been an absolute disaster. By the way. This just gets worse for the left. Christine Blasey Ford, who's the California professor who accused Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault. Remember, Brett Kavanaugh is the guy who's going for the seat in the Supreme Court, Trump's nomination. Well, it turns out she's contradicted her testimony under oath last week that she had never helped anyone prepare for a polygraph examination. She has perjured herself, not once, but twice, because she also lied about being a certified psychologist. And she is not one. So this is a disaster for the Democrats, who are trying to destroy this man's reputation. I mean, you want to hear what Donald Trump says about it? Let me play this for you. This is hilarious. You know, he doesn't hold back, right? I mean, when Trump talks about this stuff, he's not scared. A lot of people would be very, very scared to say what they think. Not Donald. He says he wants to talk to everybody about this woman.
36 years ago, this happened. I had one beer. Right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was... Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember.
Come on. Come on, Donald. Okay, it's just seized up. What's going on with our internet this morning? We got a problem here?
Okay, I had issues at home.
Here he is.
I don't know. What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house?
Oh, God. It's just pausing and stopping and starting. It's very annoying. Anyway, I'll play it for you later. I hate it when stuff doesn't work. We've got to get to some news. You want to do it?
Uh-huh.
All right. Before we get to the news, smart money. Do you know about smart money?
Gareth, you mentioned it before, but I reckon you should mention it again.
All right. It's a series of financial tips for different life stages. You could be a young Sia Sangweni.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a slightly older Ben Karpinski. You could be a much older Gareth Cliff, and you would find value in all of this. Maya Fisher-French, who is a very credible woman, she is well-known in the financial sector. She's one of those people who's interviewed everybody that's anybody. She knows how business works. She knows how finances should be operated. And she's also the personal finance guru you've been looking for. She speaks to various experts as they help us find answers to pressing financial questions. What kind? Financial wellness, saving for retirement, navigating the gig economy, making sure you have the correct health care, saving from a millennial perspective. Because it's hard, right? You want to travel. You want to see the world. You want to have experiences.
Oh, so many distractions nowadays.
how getting married affects you financially, and so much more. Smart Money is brought to you by Discovery, getting your money right for your life. The show is live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. All 12 episodes are available on cliffcentral.com, on the Cliff Central app, and anywhere you get your podcasts. So go and download them today. Ta-da!
Ta-da!
All right. Let's get into some news.
Yeah, bro.
The five things you need to know today. Well, they're renaming William Nickel. I still don't know who William Nickel was, and I've been driving that road for how many years?
Again, how important is it renaming roads right now?
Well, you know, a lot of people have been calling for this because it was a massive issue when Winnie was you know, when she died, and Julius was saying we're going to rename Cape Town Airport with her name, and I don't know why Cape Town Airport was ever thought of, but William Nickel seems more sensible because they at least drove down William Nickel when she was going to be buried.
Fair point.
Okay. You know? But William Nickel, whatever reason, that's now going to be called Winnie Madikizela Mandela Road.
Drive.
Which is a longer sign. It's a much, much longer sign. It's a lot of
metal.
Yeah, but you see, this is how politicians persuade us that they're doing things. Instead of fixing the potholes and widening William Nickel because it's a clusterfuck of traffic, the politicians will rename it. And then we all go, well, they're doing something. They're not.
Just in the meantime, it covers up
that's right.
Everything
and
else they aren't doing.
Mum Winnie would have given a shit about having a road named after her. She didn't ask for it while she was alive. She certainly wouldn't have asked for it once she was dead. She wants people in this country, or she did, and she made it very clear in her own words. You can look up her speeches. Don't take my word for it. This woman was more interested in ordinary South Africans being given an opportunity to find work, being treated as equals among their peers, and to not be subjected to oppression of any kind. She didn't care about a road. So
no, it's a half-assed afterthought as well.
Go for it anyway, though. I mean, Gauteng Transport MEC Ismail Vadi, when last you hear from him?
No idea who
Crickets,
is.
Right? Crickets. Anyway, well done, Ismail Vadi. You're getting so much done. You know what transport is like in Gauteng, you son of a bitch, do you know?
But it's exactly like how some departments will just wait for someone to die, then they'll fund the funeral, and then that's how they're coming to play.
That's right.
Wow, they're doing such great work.
Think of all those businesses.
I had a conversation with Rudy Tlabi the other day about exactly that. Some departments in government that just pay for funerals. It's all they exist for. Yes, Ben?
But all those businesses now have to change their business cards or the signage or the frontage of their...
Yep.
I'm waiting for my navigator to have to pronounce
that. Do you
know
how many businesses are on that road?
Does the government help them pay for all those changes to their business cards, their addresses, their... No, of course not. Government makes that your problem. But that's great. You just go ahead. You name that.
I'm sure Winnie's
thrilled.
There's actually a shopping center called Nickel Way. So will that then be called Winnie Way?
Oh, Winnie Way has a little ring to it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. But again, it's a lot of signage to change.
All right, guys, I'll see you at Tasha's at Winnie Way.
So now, like Tasha's menus. Like the menu where it says Tasha's Inn.
Winnie Way.
Exactly, because that doesn't exist. So now they've got to print new menus.
Government like to show you they're doing things. Don't fall for it, okay? The official death toll, very sad story, from the 7.5 magnitude earthquake that struck the west coast. Sorry.
Didn't need water?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Struck the west coast island of Sulawesi on Friday, stood at 1,234. Oh. Many killed by tsunami waves triggered by the quake. It's hectic. That's in Palu in Indonesia.
Jeepers.
Yeah, the official death toll is rising, and officials fear the toll could soar as most of the confirmed dead have come from Palu, which is a small city 1,500 kilometers northeast of Jakarta. Losses in remote areas likely cut off since Friday have yet to be determined. We think we're so clever, and then nature reminds us who's really in charge. The EFF have got their sights on Hlantlanene. Now, you know... This guy is the finance minister. He's trying to help fix a broken economy. It is a hard job. There is no one in the EFF who could even add up a complicated sum of numbers. And Hlantlanene is one of the more capable people we have that we can trust to try and get things on track. He's got some good ideas. He's trying to manage and put together an economy that's been devastated by state capture. And what did the EFF do? They call on the finance minister to resign from his position as soon as he finishes testifying at the state inquiry capture, the state capture inquiry. The party's made the call ahead of Nene taking the witness stand. The reason Nene was appointed as Minister of Finance by a captured Jacob Zuma was because he worked with the Guptas. When he was Minister of Finance, he stopped taking their calls and tried to work independent of the Guptas, the EFF claimed. So you're not allowed to change sides? That's what you did, Julius. That's what your EFF did.
You defined by.
All they do is change sides. When he finishes his submission, he must immediately step down. Nene was, of course, fired by Jacob Zuma, remember, very publicly, Nene Gate. The EFF have claimed that Nene worked for and with the Guptas during his stint as deputy finance minister. EFF said he played victim after he was fired. EFF is aware of many other dealings and dark secrets. Well, why don't you tell us what they are?
Yeah, it's always these we know things. Well, be open, be transparent. Don't try to use it as leverage.
If you know stuff and you don't tell us, maybe you should be fired.
Exactly.
Maybe you're doing the South African public a disservice by holding secrets until you can use them politically. Maybe we should have a problem with that before we have a problem with Ntlantlanene. Limpopo bus driver. Remember that guy who lost control of the vehicle, it overturned and people died?
And then tried to run to Zimbabwe.
That's right. Well, he has been denied bail. Remember, 9 people were killed. The bus was traveling from Limpopo to Gauteng when the driver lost control. He tried to flee to Zim, as Ben pointed out, and he slipped out of the hospital. He and the surviving 51 bus passengers were taken to that hospital for medical attention, and the police have said that the man appeared in the Polokwane Magistrates Court on Tuesday. He was denied bail, and his case was postponed to 9 October. So we'll find out more, but we're keeping on top of that story because we like seeing people taken to court and taken to task over their dereliction of duty. You can't drive a bus and kill people and then expect to get away with it. And apparently in Port Elizabeth, as the final thing you need to know today, 3 years ago, cell phone detection technology was widely trumpeted by the Department of Correctional Services as a means to root out illegal activity within prisons. You know, the fact that a prisoner should even have a mobile phone is outrageous, if you ask me.
Completely.
Because I would be happy to be in prison if I had my mobile phone.
And you're getting fed and you have free time and you could be studying. But also there's some guy in the corner who could be calling you butterscotch.
Or the love of your life. Someone who finally gets you.
Never mind.
Well, apparently a video which was taken inside a notorious Eastern Cape prison shows that there is little to no proper detection of classified contraband, which is still a common occurrence. The video shows an awaiting trial prisoner who's seemingly drinking alcohol inside the St. Albans Correctional Center.
Imagine.
Yeah, apparently a reliable source declined to be named. It's understood the video footage was captured recently in a cell in the medium section of the prison. According to the source, the men were allegedly following the death of a rival gang member, celebrating outside prison walls. Outside prison walls. How's that? I mean, they were basically having a party.
Mm.
Prison sounds great.
But
except for the butterscotch.
Butterscotch, yeah. No, no.
But the thing?
It's no secret that the warders are in on this.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So there we go. Lots of things to think about this morning. Bitcoin's trading at $6,460. Ethereum at $219. Ben, what can you tell us?
Real Madrid, Gareth, they're not very good anymore.
Since Cristiano Ronaldo left?
Yeah, Vitz top of the log in the PSL and the Khabib versus McGregor fight. Well, it's all just kicking off.
Hmm. All right, take it away, Ben.
So, what's going on with the music?
It's your music. Did you want this? Oh, you want it? Oh, you want... Sorry. Ben doesn't like change.
No.
All right. No, go on.
How long have you been working here for? Champions League last night. All the big teams played pretty average. Bayern München, who is obviously German's best team, they win every year. Every year, the Bundesliga. They drew 1-1 at home to Ajax Amsterdam. Now, Ajax Amsterdam, that was basically, it's like hairy beavers, really. They were big in the 70s, but what can you say about them now? 1-1, huge result for them. AEK Athens, they lost to Benfica at home, 2-3. Olympic Lyonnais, well, they held Shakhtar Donetsk, 2-2. And then CSKA Moscow, 1, Real Madrid, 0. Toni Kroos sent a really dodgy ball back into his own box early on in the game, and the Moscow people pounced on that, and they got the goal early. And Real Madrid, well, they struck the woodwork 3 times. Of course, that results in 0 goals. It's all by hitting the net in football, if you're new to it. Yep. So that's a huge loss. And you think they're not really doing much in La Liga. Of course, they are missing a few key players through injury right now. But you take away Ronaldo, and this team really has seemed to have lost its mojo. Now, this is what Real Madrid have always done. They have to have the best players in all of football. And they didn't really sign anyone massive over the transfer season. You think there were rumors around Neymar. It was post-World Cup, so that's when footballers were at their sexiest. And they didn't really bag a big name. They've still got so much quality in the squad, no doubt about it. Luka Modric, who is the best footballer in the entire world, according to FIFA, he's in there still. But no, bugger did do last night. CSK Moscow 1-0. Big win there. So they got top of their group. Roma, they had no problems whatsoever versus Victoria Plzeň. They won 5-0. An absolute thrashing. Man United, they got booed off the field. Why? Well, because everyone is so tired of how boring these guys are. And, well, if you just listen to any sort of sport report for the next 24 hours, you'll hear the drawing board, Jose Mourinho. And Man United all in one sentence, because that is where they're apparently going back to. But have they moved past it? It's the better question. 0-0 at home against Valencia. Juventus, they beat the young boys 3-0, with one of Juventus' youngest boys getting all 3 goals. How about that for irony? And then TSG 1899, Hoffenheim, they were pretty good against Man City yesterday, actually. And it took a silver goal right at the end. Silver's the guy's name, of course, not an actual silver goal. They won 2-1 at the death. So
I was going to say, that sounds a poor companion to the gold goal.
Yeah. So 2-1, Man City. Not their illustrious best at the moment. So today, what can we expect from the Champions League? Well, Barcelona, obviously. So the great thing about Champions League football is that they spread the big teams out. So Tuesday, last night, we had some big teams. Tonight, at 6:55, it's very strange, there's always 2 games at 6:55 and the rest are at 9. The first 2 early games for you today, Paris Saint-Germain will take on the Red Star Belgrade. Lokomotiv Moscow will take on Schalke 04, as opposed to 03, of course. And then 9 o'clock tonight, there's the big one, Spurs versus Barcelona at Wembley. Now, Spurs, they think that just like Real Madrid, Barcelona are having a bit of a tough time with things right now. They lost recently in La Liga. They haven't been at their absolute best. But as you know, with all the best sporting teams, along with the cliches, is that once a good team has a bit of a setback, they generally come back firing pretty hard. Hard enough to beat Spurs? Well, of course, yeah. I mean, Messi just has to have a decent night. He could score 3 goals by himself, so that'll be interesting to watch. 9 o'clock and the rest at that time. Atletico Madrid will take on Club Brugge. That's from Belgium. Napoli will take on Liverpool. Porto will take on Galatasaray. PSV versus Inter Milan. Borussia Dortmund versus Monaco. Sexy times in the football. Champions League, that's what everyone really cares about. But there is local football, of course, that fits on our top of the log in the absolute premiership, the PSL, call it what you will. They beat Cape Town City last night, and Cape Town City have had a bit of a rough run of things. Well, not rough, I mean, they're doing bloody well. They just won the MTN 8. So they lost 2-0 last night to Wits, but I think these two teams are going to be right up there in the mix. And looking at the rest of the log, Chiefs are also up there at the moment, as are Pirates and Bloom Celtic, along with Supersport United. Cape Town City got a long way to go, but it's still early days, though. Early days. More football news. Cristiano Ronaldo's rape case, of course, is still a big story around most people. He's, of course, missed last night's action because of suspension. But Las Vegas, the police department there, have reopened his rape case.
Uh-oh.
But there's a couple of things that I just have to bear in mind here. During that time, initially, she didn't ever mention Ronaldo in this case. So they don't have a suspect to the Las Vegas Police Department. So there's no suspect. There's no Las Vegas CSI in a hotel room. So basically, it's a bit of a tough case. But you got to think, this woman, this Catherine Mayorga, who obviously is getting, like we said yesterday, abused online by all the Ronaldo fans, she has so much to lose here. First up, she has to lose the settlement money that she already took a while back, which was $375,000. So she has that to lose if it doesn't go well. She's also got Ronaldo's team of lawyers suing her if this doesn't go well. She also then has all the court case and costs around going to trial again if we were to get that. Do you really think that if this didn't happen, this woman would be coming forth and doing all this when so much is on the line? So I put it to you, that is what could be considered in this case. Everyone's going, oh, this bitch. I mean, you look through Twitter, you'll see things like, oh, this bitch, this skank, this slut, this attention whore. Oof. I mean, do you really think this woman at the age of 34 wants 15 seconds of fame when all of this is on the line? She'll be financially ruined. Her life will be over if this doesn't go well for her. So clearly, she feels, like, again, you can't take sides unless you know all the information, but I mean, that's something to think about, this whole thing. UFC 229. It's the bad blood edition. And there's always huge drama around fighting. This is why MMA, UFC, mixed martial arts, this whole thing has sort of leapfrogged boxing. Because boxing got to the stage where it just became too technical. It became too Klitschko-y. It became too much of a predictable kind of thing. And it became boring as all balls. Whereas UFC, there's all these different stories and there's different nationalities. And they've found people in strange places. And they've all got weird tattoos and even weirder hairstyles. UFC had done so bloody well at marketing this absolute freak show of fighting that this current fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov and Conor McGregor is just a fine example of this. Now, we all know McGregor went to go fight Floyd Mayweather for the big money. But he had to come back to UFC because that was his contract. So he had to fight again there. And then he kind of lost his shit and he threw like a trolley at a bus. And then he got arrested. Now, the trolley that he threw was the bus containing Khabib and a couple of other fighters. So this is where it all kind of kicked off. And I think this is beautifully orchestrated. So whoever wrote the script for this, well bloody done. There's no coincidence here. And I'm not buying for a second. WWE have been doing this for years. MMA, UFC, they all know it's entertainment. And it's big money. So that is where all the bad blood kind of really started from. And of course, Khabib always wanted to fight the best. This guy's record, I think, is like 26-0. I mean, he really is just like an absolute powerhouse. McGregor's all talk, but he's always backed it up. That's what you can't take away from this dude. It's what makes him such an icon within sport and what allowed him to sort of cross-pollinate towards a sport he didn't have any place in. Mm-hmm. So you've got two contrasting styles, of course. Khabib has wrestled bears before. He's Russian. That's what they do, apparently. There's this great clip on the internet of Khabib in his AMG Merc SUV. And in the passenger seat is a Russian bear. Not like a bottle of vodka, as in a massive Russian bear. Just chilling in his car and he pulls away. So this guy's been literally wrestling bears since he was a small child. His dad would have the bear on the leash and this little kid would go and wrestle a bear. While other kids were like picking their nose or eating dirt. Wrestling motherfucking bears. And then you got McGregor, who's obviously, he's much more of a striker. I mean, he's knocked guys out in a few seconds. There's been some great memes over the last few years about what takes longer, a putt to go in from a golfer or McGregor to knock out a fighter. So you've got two brilliantly contrasting styles. You've got this guy who is all show, and you've got this other guy who grew up in these mysterious hills in Russia, and well, who knows what happened to his life. But yeah, two fantastic records, and that all squares up this weekend. That's probably the biggest story for the week. And you will hear more and more about it. Today, the Proteas will take on Zimbabwe in a match that you probably will miss. But it's a day-night match. And if you're in Bloemfontein, well, how about this to start the summer? Pack a cooler box. Do whatever you need to do. Get your mates out there. Get the PT pant out. Get some sun in those thighs. Bloemfontein, what a place to be today. What a place. And Gareth, that's pretty much it for this sport.
You know what, Ben? That's a good diet.
I was going to talk about Springboks today.
People who fight bears, I mean, get much better than that.
I was going to talk about Springboks today, but there's not a lot of news because we all just know it's down to the fact that the Boks had this golden opportunity to go back-to-back against the All Blacks. We never thought that would be possible. The All Blacks obviously are throwing out the cliches how they respect the Boks, and everyone's saying, well, the All Blacks are going to come out so hectically strong here. I think the average score between these two teams at Loftus is like 44-21. It's not a happy hunting ground for the Boks against the All Blacks. But all of those things you can just flush down the toilet. We've got a committed, pretty settled Bok team right now who have beaten the All Blacks this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm bloody excited about that. But if you can get down there, really, you must do. So often in international rugby, the Boks get these rough ref calls because these refs, they are just so scared to make a bad call against their home team. New Zealand know this, they exploit this, the captain's in the ear, the crowd are shouting, especially the women, very vocal in New Zealand. So if everyone can get to Loftus and absolutely fill Loftus up, and you shout and you scream, and you do whatever you want to do in the face of your boss, you now get the chance to at Loftus. Make a lot of noise, and trust me, the calls will go the way of the box. I know this sounds... Okay.
That's a New Zealand woman just busy adding.
I know this sounds like sour grapes or the fact that this is dark arts, but guys, this is how it works in the world of sport. If we pressure this ref, he's going to go the way of the box. And it wouldn't be a bad thing for the box to get the rub of a couple of greens here. And then, before you know it, two wins against the All Blacks in 1 year. So it's possible. It's in our hands. Be active, box citizens. Get to Loftus and shut your face off for them.
All right. Look at Ben. About turn from a couple of weeks ago.
Well, yeah. Sure.
You're allowed to change your mind, even if Julius thinks it's a bad idea. All right. Let's get to Sia. It's Said by Sia time. What do you got to inspire and make us optimistic about today?
I have a very impressive kid, but now after hearing about Khabib and dealing with bears at a young age, I don't know. It's impressive of a different kind, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. One of my new favorite TV shows to watch is called Genius Junior. Mm-hmm. And it's one of these shows where they have whiz kids from around the world all just face off in all of these different challenges and. Well, South Africa, though, has one of these whiz kids that we should be proud of, and that's who I want to highlight this morning for Said by Sia. His name is Stian Skeepers. He's 9 years old from Rustenburg, and he is now a new world maths champion. He flew the flag high when he came second at the Junior Mental Calculation World Championship, which took place in Germany last week. Stian achieved a top 10 position last year at the championship, and this year he actually just missed first place with a mere couple of points. But at just 9 years old, he was up against stiff international competition. Actually, the top three was made up of people who are just 2 years older than him, including the winner, who is from India. So the Junior Mental Calculation World Championship tests the calculation capabilities of children in three age groups. That's from 8 to 11 years old, 12 to 15, and then 16 to 19 years old. And all of their calculations that they do have to be done mentally. But Stian, he's in grade 3 right now in Rustenburg and is said to actually be really advanced for his age. One of his teachers has spoken out and said that, listen to this, this is what bowled me over. Stian at school is more advanced in maths than all of his peers and also the maths teachers at the school.
Wow, that's amazing.
I actually don't think he should still be going to the school.
What a great kid.
I mean, he's not being stimulated, though. That's the thing. His teacher says it's phenomenal, but it is something you must see with your own eyes. What the school actually does just to stimulate him in some different way is they host the class versus Stian competition to test his abilities. This is how insane it is. They'll have his classmates give him a number with five digits, and he must multiply it by another five-digit number, and he'll just casually do the sum in a matter of seconds. Mm-hmm. And while the rest of the class follow with their calculators.
But you see, this is the point, right? I mean, a lot of people would say, well, this is a useless skill because machines can always work much faster than us. I think mathematics is a talent, and understanding numbers, being able to calculate like this kid does, is a tremendous talent. It allows you to understand so much. Numbers, if numbers elude you early on in life, life is much harder.
Oh, yeah.
It's much harder. I can't add the way I'd like to. I mean, I understand this stuff when I sit down and I'm very, you know, focused. And when I try, I can still do a quadratic equation or any of that stuff. But
that just sends shivers down my spine.
But don't ask me to do ordinary arithmetic. I'm terrible at it. I need to pull out my calculator. And I feel very embarrassed by that. This guy is clearly the opposite of that.
Grade 3 pupil.
Yes.
You know, when they put him against the class and the class is using their calculators, they say Stian actually works out the sum faster. This is if he's working with five-digit numbers and he's multiplying them by... Oh, what a mess. But congratulations to him. Grade 3 pupil, he's 9 years old, and he spends 2 hours every afternoon with his coach just working on maths and learning more skills. So, wow. We have a new world champion in our midst, so congratulations to him.
Nice. I like it. That's really something to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Stian. Isn't that cool? All right, what do we got? Got some
News on the way. Oh, by the way, if you're wondering where Gord is not here.
Spot on, Gareth. He's not.
Yeah.
I was waiting to see what else he'd say.
That's all I got to say. Gord's not here. If you were looking forward to Gord Laws, no, sorry, he's not here today. Well, we have plenty on the agenda, and I expect that you'll also have lots on your mind. You know what to do. You can always call us, 0861-555-189. If you want to get hold of us on WhatsApp or anywhere else, 0797-482-090. CliffCentral.com.